There's only just a few of us yet that believe in this book again. And the names of the Lord Jesus Christ have been adulterated in every modernist Bible. Horribly so. And so we'll look at that just a little bit. But just understand that when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying a mouthful in that phrase, and I want us to capture just how much of a mouthful that is. And so here as we begin in the month of December, looking at the birth of Christ, let me clarify again that probably Christ was not born on December 25th, which in the old calendar, in the Roman calendar, used to be the longest night of the year. And so again, when you see some traditions of Romans of staying up to midnight, having a midnight mass, a lot of those things come from, again, the worship of the sun god and the longest night, and people would stay up and find out if the sun was going to start back on its cycle to come back here in the northern hemisphere. And so that's the longest night. That's where all the traditions come from. I was talking to Tim, and we were having a great debate this week about when Jesus was born. The Weavers up there are big on manger scenes. You can imagine how they, so they got all their manger scenes out, and we're going through and talking about all the manger scenes this week. And about when Jesus was born. And Tim believes like I do. Isn't that a coincidence that when the angels were with their flocks at night, that's during lambing season. And when else would God have the Lamb of God be born than during lambing season? Yeah. Again, them sheep are weird creatures. Deer are too, again. They follow pretty close, but not as closely as sheep. It's like sheep, again, are on a very tight moon-driven schedule as far as when they lamb. And so it's only about a week's time frame when all of the lambing starts and stops. And so it's all done in just a very short period of time. And again, that's when the shepherds are with their flocks in the fields by night. And other than that, they're not, again. So that's, again, a good clue for us in the Bible about when Jesus was born. Other than that, I'll not argue with it much. There's a lot of people that fuss about things that ain't that important. Mm-hmm. But again, we celebrate the birth of Christ. If you want to celebrate the birth of Christ during lambing season, again, then you're in conflict with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just assume that we go ahead and take the Roman holiday and say, let's celebrate the birth of Christ here. It works for me, again. And I know it's pagan, and I don't even care. So we ought to celebrate every day the birth of Christ. We ought to celebrate every week the resurrection of Christ. Hey, we do praise the Lord again. So as we enter into this Christmas time, don't be fussing with people about Christmas trees being idols and everything else. Just fuss about the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did to leave the glory of heaven and to come down here and to be born the Son of Man. Let's look at some titles given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's start there in Isaiah in chapter 9. Isaiah in chapter 9. And let's look again at here some titles given to Christ. There's a lot of people fussing about belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christendom, if I could call it that, who has a sole purpose of tearing down the Lord Jesus Christ. It's diabolical. Satan's behind it. I got a lot of friends that call the NIV the devil's Bible, the ESV the evil satanic version. I believe, again, that those versions were made by sincere men, but they're sincerely wrong. And so again, as we look here at the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, understand that here's a list of names given in the Old Testament that I want to emphasize its importance. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Just a couple verses, Isaiah chapter 9. You follow along in your Bible. I hope it's underlined, highlighted. This talks about both the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ are captured in these two verses of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called, and now we're going to start this list of names. Look at them carefully. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. I like to tell people that when you need counseling, if you're a born-again Christian, you have a counselor on board. Okay, so his name is called Counselor. Look at this. His name is called the Mighty God. This is the Son. This is the in that manger. His name is the Mighty God. And if you didn't get that, look at the next name. This Son that's going to be born is called the Everlasting Father. I don't care if it doesn't make logical sense that the Son is called the Everlasting Father. Just deal with it again. Amen. And learn some things about the Word of God and the Trinity. Hallelujah. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And then, of course, even as we looked over there in Colossians or Philippians there, that his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. He can give a peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. Father, praise you. Thank you for your Son. We worship him. And we thank you again, Father, that we can today. Pray again that you'd bless as we consider some things in your word. Father, we thank you for it. Thank you again, Father, for what you did in our heart to cause again that we'd not be off in some modernist church having a hallelujah chorus. Father, we're here to worship your Son and exalt his name, the name that's above every name. Touch our worship in this day. Cause it to change our lives. Father, make us walk different and talk different in this old world. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew. Let's go. Oh, you may be seated again. Turn over your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and let's just look again. I'm going to try and capture a few of these verses. I'll not do all of them, because the name Jesus is used 612 times. And that's just in the gospel. Okay, 612 times. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 1. And we want to look at this name Jesus. I want us to understand some principles about the name Jesus, particularly starting this off. I look at verse 21, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, let me stop right there again and emphasize this fact. That should be all capitalized in your Bible. All caps. Yeah. And it might not be in the Greek Bible, but when they translated the English Bible, they was very careful to treat this name as hallowed. Especially in the Old Testament, where the Hebrews did, the name Lord for Jehovah, again, is used, substitution. And here in the New Testament, when they understand that it's talking about God, they are very reverent to that name. I got some authors that I read, and they try to go through, and every time they use a pronoun for him, they try to put a capital H on that. I think that might be going a little too far. The Bible don't do that. But boy, it is very respectful of the names of God, and they are hallowed. In a 1611 King James Bible. And they are not hallowed in any other modernist Bible. They are degraded, actually. So watch this again. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you see right there, the name of Jesus is given a definition. Why would we call him Jesus? It's because he's the Savior. Because Jesus is the one who's going to save his people from their sins. We just this week read again about Peter going to the Caesarea and preaching to the Gentiles. And I praise the Lord when Jesus came to save his people from their sins, that I can be his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Gentiles got slipped in there on that great promise because it was preordained that they would. Praise the Lord. And we are part of the elect. Gentiles are corporately because of God's perfect grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he's given the name there, Jesus. Now, I don't want to shake anybody, but let me go ahead and give you the name in Hebrew. Ready? It sounds like this. Joshua. Okay. Lots of times we see the name given when we were down in Peru. Lots of people who had the name Jesus or Joshua actually went by the name Jesus. And so again, the different names that we see, again, understand this. They carry this meaning. Jesus, again, means he's going to save his people from the sin. And it's because Joshua, Jesus, means Savior. Let me go ahead and say that name, as I said, was used 612 times in the Gospels alone, the name Jesus. But it's only used 71 times in the remainder of the New Testament. There's a lesson here. The name Christ that we'll look at in a moment, that's used only 56 times in the New Testament, but 256 times in the remainder of the Bible. And so, when we call these the four Gospels, I don't know how to say this politely, but there's not very much gospel in the four Gospels. You ever think about that? Mm-hmm. If you're going to lead someone to Christ, the saving faith in Christ, there's only a couple verses in the very last of the four Gospels that we use to point someone, to outline for them what salvation is. And even that was written before salvation was purchased. And so, just stick that in the back of your mind. Think about that a little bit. The Gospels, again, portray Jesus. And I'd like to just clarify here that you're not saved because you believe in Jesus. The world believes in Jesus. And a lot of people that talk about Jesus, again, be careful, because we're not saved because of Jesus. I was taught when I was a child to pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Many of you were taught that. Mm-hmm. I picked up Dr. Cameron. He was a theologian at Tennessee Temple and wrote a book that is primarily the basis of my whole chapter on Christology. And he says Christians should not pray in Jesus' name. And we'll look at why here again. And I've been careful again in my prayers that I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And get the whole title in there. So I want us to look at the name Jesus just for a moment here and see if we can't get some understanding of the names of Jesus, of the name of our Christ, of the name of our Lord, and make sure we understand how it's used and why it's used. Jesus is the personal name of the Christ. Jesus is the personal name of our Lord. It is his earthly name. And that's why you see it in the Gospels emphasize so much the name of Jesus. But listen, after his resurrection, the name of Jesus is hardly used. Nobody, no believer ever came up to now I got to be careful how I say this. No believer ever came up to the Lord Jesus Christ and called him by his name. Now, the theologian said that. He's read his Bible longer than I've read mine, and I've been a long time reading this thing. And I got to read through again and say, is that true, you know? What did they call him?
Lord.
The Lord. Rabbi. They called him almost anything, but they never called him by his name, Jesus. And Jesus is the name of the frailty of God put in human form. His finiteness. Before he suffered, or as he suffered, before he died, his name was Jesus. That's how it's used, and it's not used by believers. But boy, in our day and age, it sure is. You can understand this, and the emphasis is, oh, that if you just believe in Jesus. Listen, you won't get saved by believing in Jesus. You get saved by whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot be saved. Let's go ahead and look at the emphasis of that. In two places. Let's go ahead and start in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And again, that's some deep thinking, and I just want, again, that we be conscious of that and think about that. And then what I want you to do is, as you're reading through your Bible in 2018, you watch for the names here of God and how they're used, and take a new lesson. Every time we read our Bible, ever since I went through and I listed out and marked in my old Bible, every place where they changed the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Greek. Every place where they went and they dropped pieces of his title out or rearranged them, I paid close attention to them. And it would behoove you and I to do the same. And you'll be convinced, just a short study of that, you'll be convinced that it's diabolical, that Satan is behind all the modernist versions and the Nestle's Greek version that all of them use to give us modernist Bibles. Acts chapter 2, look with verse 36. Here we got Peter preaching. Woo, I like this. And look what it says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, I'm in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And you can see a distinction there, again, that he was made Lord and Christ at his crucifixion. Before then, he was labeled as Jesus. Turn with me to the closing of the Gospel of John. We're looking at some of the names of our Lord in the Gospel of John. Look at the last chapter before the conclusion. Oh, I guess I went the wrong way. John is actually before the book of Acts in your Bible again. Look at chapter 20. Actually, chapter 21 is the most remarkable epilogue you could ever read in English literature. Okay, and so if you want to study English lit a little bit, there's a prologue and an epilogue to this gospel that's bar none better than anything you could read anywhere. And I know the author, praise the Lord, personally, hallelujah. Look at John chapter 20 and look at verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus. Again, he's talking about in the flesh, the things that he did while he was here in the flesh, while he was had the name of Jesus. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That ye might believe that he is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I said you can't get saved by believing in Jesus. You've got to have him as your Lord. You've got to have him as your Christ. And so, as we have that emphasis here throughout, boy, I could preach several more times on that, but I just want to emphasize one more time that in the four Gospels, he's called Jesus. That's his name. But listen, after he's resurrected from the grave, then he had a name change, as it were. Suddenly he became something more than Jesus the Savior. He became Christ, the Anointed One. So I must press on, and I just bring that up, and just, I hope, initiate some study on your part as you're reading your Bible, that you watch for that name, Jesus, and watch how it's used, and watch for the name Christ. Let's quickly cover the name Christ. The name Christ means, again, the Anointed. And again, I don't want to spend too much time here. I know we've already covered it. But his name as Christ is the Anointed. It is an official title for the Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed One. And let me kill two birds with one stone here. How would you say that in Hebrew? Messiah, okay? So Messiah is a Greek, is a Hebrew, and Christ is the Greek. Again, Hebrews many times refuse anything Greek. And I don't blame them, again. If I was a Hebrew, I'd probably refuse anything Greek too. And they refuse the name of Christ because it's Greek. And so when you run into a Hebrew that's born again and has got some principles about the Word of God and some understanding of his Hebrew culture, he will say that he's not a Christian, but he is a Messianic Jew. He believes in the Messiah. And that's the same thing. We get mad at him. Boy, we's going round and round with Ronnie Winters in Jerusalem for days at a time. And until I really understood that when he said, no, I'm not a Christian, he was talking about the title that he ascribed to himself. He was a believer in the Messiah. He was a Messianic Jew. And so he refused that title. But again, understand that they're both the same thing. And they mean the Anointed One. We don't have time to turn there, and I trust I've hit it enough times here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church to just emphasize the fact that in Psalms chapter 2, when the kings of the earth rallied against God, they also rallied against His Anointed. Okay, and that's the Christ. And so the Anointed One is the Christ. The name Christ means the Anointed One. It's an official title. And as we consider that, again, understand this. Let me find my place in my notes here that goes on for six pages. That he was anointed three things. I'm currently reading a book. Did you get a card I sent you, Gene?
You did.
Did you?
Thank you.
I just couldn't help myself. I just had to put that paragraph I put in there. By Gordon about, in his quiet talks about the crowned Christ. And boy, that's just been moving. I mean, I just, that book has just opened my eyes to some things that I needed to see about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's good. I encourage you to read the book. You know, we did it's been done a study that after, and I mentioned this just because I just got my graduation certificate. After people get a graduation certificate from whatever they graduate from, they usually never read another book from beginning to end. Okay, so that kind of ends it. Don't let that be you, praise the Lord. There's some good books written out there. And let me go ahead and mention that Gutenberg Press has quiet talks on prayer, quiet talks on everything you could imagine in your Bible. And quiet talks on the crowned Christ has some insights. Again, that's just brought your pastor to tears in these past 2 weeks, and I encourage you to read some of that by Gordon. Quiet talks on Christ, but listen, he is crowned already. He is the Anointed One right now. When he rose from the tomb, he was made Christ. He was placed back in the place where he was before he was made flesh. He was placed back in his being infinite. Although he carries a little bit of finiteness around because he was made the Son of Man. And so as we study here the names, understand that the Christ was anointed as prophet. The Christ was, turn to Deuteronomy 18, we don't have time to get all these scriptures in, but some of them I just got to mention again. He was anointed as our prophet. We just looked at this, I think it was last week, when we looked at Saul stepping out of the office of king and stepping into the office, Exodus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's 18:18, and that might be just the way I remember it, not the exact verse. Again, there's no other man that was prophet, priest, and king, but Jesus was anointed. He was the Christ. And he was anointed here as prophet. Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 15. The Lord thy God, this is God talking to Moses, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, notice the capital P in a King James Bible, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Look down at verse 18. Is that what I said?
Yep.
Verse 18 says, I will raise them up a prophet. Notice the capital P. From among their brethren like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Well, that's a big promise right there. And that's Christ. And he's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And he's got the ability here to make that requirement. And if you're not listening to his words, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
And listen, his words were written down. One of the titles, it looks like I'll not get to it this morning, is, of course, the Word. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And listen, that name Word, he is the Word. And listen, it's no coincidence that we hold here the Word of God. Boy, be careful that of people that will adulterate this Word, they'll also adulterate His Word.
Yeah.
And so we want to be careful that and cognizant of that. But He is the Christ. He is the anointed prophet. He is the anointed priest. And if we had time to go down through the verses here of His anointing as the high priest. There's nobody with their collar on backward or wearing a black dress that I would go to and try to get my sins atoned for. We have one high priest. We have one mediator between God and man, even the man, Christ Jesus. And so again, he is anointed my priest, and he is anointed my king. He is crowned king. And he might not be ruling and reigning in this earth today. Certainly not in Washington, as you can tell. Reprobates are in control of this kingdom right now. But listen, he's going to come back and be king of and crowned king already of my life.
Amen.
I hope he's crowned king of your life. Remember Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, you're looking for the kingdom. Don't you understand that the kingdom is present right now
Amen. Within
you?
Amen.
Listen, we can see him as our crowned king, and we're supposed to.
Amen.
And we better. And listen, that ought to make all the difference in this world. I'm not going to promote that you march on Washington again come this February. But listen, I am going to promote that you let the light so shine inside of you.
Amen.
That they may see your works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Because listen, if there's a light shining in this world, if there's a Shekinah glory of God that's going to show up in Washington, D.C., it's going to show up because you can reach out and touch your neighbor with this light.
Amen.
And let it shine. And so again, understand that he is anointed, the anointed one, the Christ. He is the Messiah. I don't have time, but I must again mention that he is the Lord. What does it mean to call him Lord? You, again, of all people, I would just have you recognize when you call him Lord, that you're calling him, hey, he's my master. That I belong to him. He created me. I've taken my soul and I've given it to him.
Amen.
And he has redeemed it back to himself. And he owns me.
Amen.
Yeah, I am not my own. I'm bought with a price.
Amen.
And listen, when we call him Lord, boy, don't miss it. Understand that the whole world, I started writing all my letters and writing about, even if I'm writing to an unsaved person, I write and I'll sign it, our, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because for that unsaved person, he's still their Lord.
Amen.
They might not recognize him right now. There's coming a day when they will.
Amen.
But again, he is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Then we have, again, all these compound names. I want to go ahead and hit some of them. But before I do, let me go ahead and cover again that the name of Jesus has been stripped from the Holy Bible in modernist versions in 47 verses. 47 verses. They just took their penknife and they cut the name of Jesus out of their Bible, including a few in the Old Testament, but or in the after the Gospels, but primarily out of the Gospels. They've just gutted the Gospels of the name of Jesus. 47 verses, they removed it. The name Christ has been stripped from holy modernist Bibles 37 times. 37 times. Yeah, they got a good copyright out of it, but listen, they stripped the name of Christ out of your Bible 37 times. The name Lord has been stripped from the Holy Bible in modernist versions in 40 verses. And I've listed them all in the book here I got published. I've listed all of the 67 or 47 for the name Jesus and all of the 37 for the... And you can look them up and check them. Praise the Lord. And they just, again, adulterated the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in modernist Bibles. Twice they had the audacity to strip the whole compound name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Took the whole thing out of the Bible and threw it in the trash. Lord help us. Once they eliminated the name Son of Man from their, quote, corrected Bible. Understand again that this name is precious. This name is important. Boy, when we're reading our Bible, let's pay attention to the names that are given there. It goes on. My list goes on here from Dr. Cameron. Jesus Christ. This is another title of the Lord, which is a combination of His personal name, Jesus, with His official title, Christ. The emphasis is on the first word, Jesus. He was to what, or what he was to what he is. Notice again that what he was, Jesus, to what he is. And the order that them is given. In the King James Bible, they're careful to follow the words of God.
Amen.
And so you watch for the name Jesus Christ, and you watch for the name Christ Jesus. And there's a difference in how they're used. One, again, designates that he was Jesus and became Christ. The emphasis on the first word here declares that Christ, which means he who was exalted, was once humbled. And so he became flesh and dwelt among us. He's now the Christ, the exalted one, but don't forget that he was humbled, became flesh, Christ Jesus. The order of the use is extremely important. And then again, as we mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ is used again in your Bible. I got a whole section that I wanted to preach here on the I Ams of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever, I think it was just this week, we read through the crucifixion account. Remember they're trying to nail him down whether he was the Christ or not? And a couple verses, I guess I can tell you, it's just us here, let me go ahead and tell you, I was always nervous. I said, how come he just didn't tell them that I am the Christ again? Why did he just lay it out for them? And he didn't. He talked, as it were, in riddles. He talked, as it were, around those things. And he never hit him upside the head with the fact.
It's a mystery.
But listen, you and I know that. You and I know who the I Am is in the Bible. When he said, I am the bread of life, we knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
Just read this morning that Elijah took meal and spread it in the pottage, and the poison was taken out of the meal because that's a picture of I am the bread of life. We know again what he was talking about. In John 6:66, somehow I can remember that verse. I don't know exactly why it sticks in my head, but Many went and no longer followed him because he said, I am the bread. I am the living bread, he taught. He said, I am. Woo! Remember Moses when he said, I'm going to go down there and they'll say, who sent you down here? And I don't even know your name. Yeah, praise the Lord. I think it's Exodus 3. What did God say to Moses?
I am.
And listen, I know that none of us here are Hebrew scholars. Some of us have tasted just enough of it to get excited. But listen, the word Jehovah and the word I am are melded together with only just a slight twist. And the personal name of God, Jehovah, that we say, and the Hebrew phrase of I am has all the same letters, just a little bit rearrangement, and it's the same thing. Our God is the I am. He's not the I was. He's not the I will be. He is the I am. And when Jesus said, I am the bread of the life, listen, we know what he was talking about. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, we know what he meant. When he said, I am the door of the sheep, praise the Lord, we can yell hallelujah. When he said, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Boy, you ought to get excited about the I ams of the Bible, hallelujah. Come Thanksgiving time, I like yams. I don't like them near as much as the I ams out of the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. And boy, we need to get excited about the names of God, the names that he attributed. I got just one more. I've got 2 minutes. We can do this. Look in John. We already looked at the closing in John 20. Look, I think it's in John chapter 5. There's a couple verily, verilys that get me excited enough to preach. In John chapter 5. We want to cover the fact that he was, and one of the things that ought to be a study habit of ours is to look at all the times that he said, I am the Son of God, and I am the Son of Man. Understand that he was a Son of God. But the miracle that Jesus experienced, he knew that he was the Son of God. The miracle that happened in that manger scene, that miracle is the fact that he became the Son of Man. That's new. And he used that title all the time throughout the Scriptures. And there's places, again, where there's an emphasis as on the Son of Man. We read one of them this morning. Hold your place in John 5. Turn back 2 chapters and look at this in John chapter 3. Sometimes we overlook this. I love it. Again, I get all excited about this fact. And again, that God has got to ascend. He's got to descend down to earth. And he's got to ascend up into heaven. He's got to be in 2 places at one time. He's got to be 2 persons. He's got to be the Son of Man. And he's got to be the Son of God. And that's the only way that you and I could be saved. Job called for a daysman. A daysman who, again, could lay his hand on God. And lay his hand on man, and be a mediator, and be both God and man. Boy, we see an emphasis on that. And look at it one more time here in John 3, I think it's in verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. Boy, that ascending and descending thing shows up every time you find the gospel preached. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Back up a couple verses and find out that, hey, there's got to have someone that can ascend and descend. Ephesians, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Boy, you go a little further and you find out that ain't going to happen until you got someone who could ascend and descend. Even Agar in Proverbs said, we need someone who could ascend and descend. Boy, it's emphasizing. Look, here it is in John 3:16. As we have as one of our themes of Scripture. Verse 13 says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of God, no, is the Son of Man. He became flesh, dwelt among us, born and laid in a manger, born of woman. Turn to John 5. Look at verse 24. If I hadn't spent so much time on all the other verses, I'd spent a little time talking about the quickening that's found here in John chapter 25 and the first couple verily, verilies that are in this chapter. But look at that, at least the third one and fourth one. It says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath," now I like that, it's a present tense, by the way, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And this is a continuation of a lesson on quickening, by the way. Verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." When Jesus refers to the Son of God, it behooves us to sit up and pay attention. That doesn't imply you can be slothful when he calls himself the Son of Man. But look here, he says that there you're going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Listen, because he's the Son of God, he can quicken whomsoever he will. He can make alive anyone that he wants to. And he wants to make you alive when you call on his name, and only then. And so, notice again the emphasis here. Verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Look at verse 27. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also." Who's the judge of the world? The Son of Man. See that? Because he is the Son of Man. There's a difference between the Son of God and the Son of Man. And I don't mean a distinct difference that we should sit and analyze. I'm talking about when we're reading our Bible, boy, you want to pay attention to the name that's given to the one who has a name above every name. And be careful to understand the distinctions and the difference. When we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about what he was in the flesh, as he walked here on the earth and the miracles that he did. But listen, he took on a new name when he died and rose for my sin. Now he is the Christ. He's the Savior, Jesus. But now he is the Christ, the Anointed One. He is my Lord. Make a distinction of the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're holy. And they're precious. When I put this study together years ago, and especially recognized the difference between the name of Jesus and Christ, especially recognizing the name difference between a Son of Man and a Son of God, boy, I tell you what, the Bible, just all of a sudden, every time I run into a name, I had to run all over some other verses and say, whoa, how is this used here? Well, I hope that does. I hope you catch that. I hope, again, that gets all over your Bible study so that you can't just read the name of our Lord Jesus Christ without saying, wow, look how that name is used there. You know, when I read Peter, or especially Paul, when I read Paul, anything that Paul wrote, whenever he comes to the name of his Lord, there's always a paragraph of praise right attached to it there someplace. Paul could not talk about his Lord, but what he went off on several tangents just to magnify that name. Boy, you and I ought to be the same. Listen, be careful about two things that I'd mention here. One of them I already mentioned. Be careful that who we pray to. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, not Jesus, my name as the Christ. He talked to the believers. Watch how people approach him and talk to him. We read this morning, I guess it was the conversion in Acts chapter 9, where Paul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Watch how his name is used. And be careful how you pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, expand that just a little bit. Make sure you get that he's the Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in the habit of praising Jesus, well, praise the Lord. But you ought to praise the Lord. Okay? If you're in the habit of attaching adjectives to the blessed Jesus, I don't like that. That sounds so Catholic. Sweet Jesus, be careful again. A lot of people believe in Jesus that don't believe in the Christ. Mm-hmm. Most of Christendom, if I could put it that way, believes in Jesus. They think, oh yeah, we ought to try and be like Jesus. I got a couple more of your names I didn't get to, but Rabboni and Rabbi. And listen, he's your teacher, but that's after you're born again. That's after you have him as your Christ. You can go back and look at the life of Jesus and you can learn some things how you ought to behave. What would Jesus do? Sheldon's good book. But listen, that's again for a believer who's had his life changed. You can go back and be a student of Jesus. But again, understand that, hey, we have so much more. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that name. Father, I praise you and thank you for your word. We stand in awe of it. Pray again that you just bless as we again just marvel in your name. Father, may we again come to love your word more, be more careful of each word that you've given us, Father, and especially that you help us to acknowledge the name of your dear Son, his titles, his references, his similarities, and his precious name. Father, that you'd give us insight and care, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to do this. I'm nervous about it, but I'm going to do this anyway. Let's go ahead and have an invitation song. There is a name I love to hear. Watch what the songwriter wrote. I didn't review it yet. Somewhere in our book. I haven't got a page number. If you find a page number, go ahead and send it.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing it through. It sounds